This week is Parshas Lech Lecha. Parshas Lech Lecha. Vayevashem Avram Lech Lecha. Okay, Rabbi Yisai. Lech Lecha Miyartzcha, Mimoyladetecha, Mibesavicha, Laretz Sha'arecha. Hashem says to Avram, we are really introduced to Avram, our forefather, Avraham, in this week's Parsha. Last week we just mentioned him incidentally, that he existed, he was married to Sarai. And this week we get a much more formal, elaborate introduction to our forefather. Klal Yisrael begins with Avraham Avinu, look at Avraham, look at Yitzchak, look at Yaakov. I need not elaborate. And our intro is Lech Lecha. The first words that we learn where Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, communicates. Hashem communicates with Avraham Avinu is Vayomer Hashem El Avraham. Lech Lecha, I want you to go to Eretz Yisrael. I want to give you the land, and I want you to have children. What? Okay, but that itself understood from the story. And I'm going to give you, going to have Elo Oretz Asher Arecha. Hashem says to him, I'm going to make you into a great nation. At this point in time, you had no children, nothing. I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you fame, and you'll have blessing. And you'll have the ultimate blessing of having the koyach of giving blessing. Okay, you go on and on and on. Basically, I'm going to give you the land, and I'm going to give you children. The ultimate combination. Problem is, and the pasuk goes on to tell us something very, very important, which it normally would not otherwise do, and tells us how old he was. Avraham was vayelech Avraham kasher diber elov Hashem vayelech ito loit veAvraham. Ben Chameish Shanim Vishavim Shana Bitse Somechon. He was 75 years old. That's not typical of the Torah to tell you how old a person was. Age is just a number. Okay, what's the purpose? You don't find that. It's not something that we find in Chumash. You get that impression that the Torah is, you want to know how old you were? So figure it out yourself. Look at the Midrashim. Look at Seder Olam. What?
The 10 generations.
How long? Okay. That's when they Maisa Bereishis. But after starting with Avraham Avinu throughout the end of Tanakh, we know how old all the Ishi HaTanakh were. Does it ever tell us how old Aaron was, how old Miriam was, how old Yocheved was, Amram? Study the vast majority of the Ishi HaTanakh in Chumash. Forget about Nevi'im. It's not mentioned, and when it is mentioned, Rashi, the Mefarshim, they struggle. Why did it tell us how old he was? It's only so we should be able to make the calculation to know something else. It's only relevant for something else.
It's really amazing that at the age of 75, he believed in Hashem all these years, he never had contact with
him. Good point. Excellent point. So there are conflicting Mamari Chazal. Okay, there are conflicting Mamari Chazal. Telling us, you know, when did Avraham first have emuna? When did he come to appreciate that there's a creator? There are different stages. Why does it have to tell us how old he is? Rashi on this pasuk says, let me just look, let me make sure I'm not making a mistake over here.
Pasuk Dalit. He survived the Kibshon Aish. I think at that point he realized that it was a miracle.
He never spoke. Hashem
Okay. It's not relevant to our discussion now. So the Mefarshim, there's no Rashi here, but the Mefarshim tells us the reason why he mentions here 75 is to make a very important point that the Parsha is not written chronologically correctly. It's not in chronological order. There is something wrong here. In other words, the story really begins. There are different, by the way, nothing is so clear. There are different interpretations in many ways, but derech pshat, Avram, the first thing that we know about the life of Avram is Perek Yudalit. Vayehi bimei Amrofel melech Shinar Aryech melech Elosar Kidar lo'om melech Elam. There was world war. Four kings went to war against the five kings. And the four kings won the battle. And in the process, Lot, where was Lot all this time? Who knows? Lot was captured. Lot was, Lot, no, that's that. We only think Lot was in stone because we like to make believe that the Parsha is like the New York Times. You go in order. Everything is in perfect chronological order.
Rabbi, the pasuk says,
Lord bestowed.
That was afterwards. It's not so simple that
that's
this story. Not all the commentators agree that is correct. Okay, so fine. He was in stone. It's not so simple. I hear what you're saying. If you read the Pesukim in Quran in order, pasuk by pasuk, you get the impression that Avram was very successful. Lot and Avram, they separated from one another, and because he happened to be in Sdom, and this world war broke out, and one of the kings that was involved in the war was Melech Sdom, he was taken as a prisoner. That's how you learn in Yeshiva Katana, in elementary school. But the Mefarshim tell us, I don't have the details, and it's not everyone agrees with that. What I'm saying is correct. There are different opinions, and also there are different parts of the story, exactly what took place. But one thing is for sure, is that what is that the beginning of the parish is not the beginning. That is for sure. I mean, according to almost everyone. And that's the reason why the pasuk has to make it clear that he was 75 years old. Because the events that took place later in the parish took place when he was young. One approach to the story is there was a world war, and there were four kings, there were five kings, the four kings prevailed. In the process, Lot was captured. Avram went to save his brother, to save his nephew. He saved him, and he said to him, "You're not going nowhere, and you're staying with me. I don't want to come. I don't want to go and have this have to happen again. It's not going to happen again. It's not going to happen anymore. So you're going to stay with me." And they came back home, back to Aram Naharaim, and then he. There are other things that happened. I don't even know all the details. And then Terach died. All different stories. And then, now when he was 70, and there was also a bris bein Abisarim.
Ken, don't say Terach died. That we have chronological list of time.
Okay, fine. But the past is a Rashi that tells us we hide his death. And there was the bris bein Abisarim at the end of the story of the World War, where Hashem says, Avram says to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, what's this all worth? I was Moser Nefesh, I saved my nephew, he's alive, and here I am. But so what? V'anoichi hoylech ariri uven benesek beisi hu damesek Eliezer. I have nothing. Hashem says to Avram, say mitztagninu shelucha, schorcha harbe ma'od, I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael. Hashem, and he makes him a bris ben abasarim. That took place, according to many commentators, when he was 73 years old, before Lech Lecha. Perek Yudalit took place before. Now comes back home to Aram Naharayim. He's working very hard to Kir V'Chaykin, and Hashem says, "Listen, Avram, you've already been through a lot in your life. You've been through the war. You've already experienced the bris ben habesarim. You've come back home, you're here with Sarai, you're working very hard, you think that you're going to achieve great things. The blessings that I've given you at the bris ben habesarim are going to be fulfilled somehow by continuing your work here in your home, in your hometown, your place, your birthplace, Aram Naharaim, and you're going to spread from here to the whole world. I have some news to tell you. In order for us to proceed to fulfill the blessings of the bris bein habesarim, in order for you to capitalize upon your success in your bring with you the experience of the battles of the world war, the war that you've been through, lech lecha, you got to get out of here. You got to give everything up, start from scratch. Lech lecha. Let me show you now what I was referring to at the bris bein habesar. You have to appreciate this is not the 21st century where you know there's a media, there is a technology where the whole world knows who he is. When he in Aram Naharaim, they know the whole story. When he's now going to go down and travel these lands, not necessarily do they even know what happened. They know all the details. It was a very, very big nisayon based upon knowing the fact that most of the events that appear in Parashas Lech Lecha have already happened and are providing us with background information. This is what many of the commentators write in different forms, and there are differences of opinion of exactly which event happened at which point in time. But one thing that is certainly true, according to the vast majority of the commentators, is that this pasuk here, Lech Lecha Me'aretzcha, this critical pasuk, where Hashem speaks to him and tells him to go to Eretz Yisrael, happened much, much later in his life at the end of the game. And the question is, why then is it written in this order? Why couldn't the Torah write this in the correct order? So we all know the popular words, Ein Mukdam U'me'uchar B'Torah. The Torah is not a storybook. The Torah, there is no order. When it comes to major chunks of the parashios of the historical events, Ein Mukdam U'me'uchar B'Torah. There is no beginning, there is no end. Things are put in the Torah out of order. The question is, why? Why is it out of order? Why couldn't the Torah arrange the events in the Parashas Lech Lecha exactly the way they happened on a timeline as every other secular book did? Why is it out of order? And also, it's very disturbing. It's not just a little event. These are major events, okay? If it will be you know, small little stories which are not don't affect us so much, then we can understand this might be an important lesson. This is our forefather, Avram Avinu. He's coming to establish the foundation of Emunah, of Yadus, and there's something very disturbing here in everything be presented in the wrong order. And the answer is very obvious. It's because he is Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, Jews are different than the Goyim. What is the major difference between a Jew and a Goy? A Jew has his eye on the ball. He has his eye on what is the end game. Where is all of this taking us? Where are we going? A Jew is trained. It's in his blood. From the moment he realizes that he's alive, that he's going to die one day.
The big picture.
He's going to have to give a din v'cheshbon. There's something called Olam Haba. There's something called Olam Ha'emes. There's the world is Yemos HaMashiach. A Jew from day one has a sense that there's an end. There's an end, and the end is critical. And everything that happens along the way is all part of the plan to reach the end, to achieve the desired result at the end. This is the essence, the nature of a Jew. If you're going to live for the present, yeah, I know there's an end, but you know, we have to go through the day. You're going to get distracted. You're going to get sidetracked. You're never going to achieve the result. You're never going to accomplish. You'll never come to that shlemus, that hashlama at the very end. It's by design that Parshas Lech Lecha, which introduces us to our roots, the makor of Klal Yisrael, Avraham Avinu, Sari Imenu, this is where it all starts. The first thing we learn about him is the end game. Vayoymer Hashem el Avram, you know what the end game is? Eretz Yisrael. Children, a nation that's the Am HaNivcha, a nation that promotes the name of Hashem, a nation, everything that it says here, a nation, go L'goy Godol V'avorechecha V'agadlo Shemecha V'heyei Berocha V'avorecha M'vorechecha U'mikalelcha Or V'nivrichu V'cha Kol Mishmecha Yisro Adama. That's Mashiach. How else could you describe Yemos HaMashiach? How else can you describe what the purpose of this world is, the shlemus, the perfection, the goal of this world? And here Hashem is telling Avram, now is the time to achieve that result. But wait a minute, this took place when he was 75 years old. What about what happened when he was 50 years old? When he was 48 years old? When he was 3 years old? When he was 72 years old? He was the Bris Ben Abesarim. Yeah, you're right. But if we would focus on those things, when we would get to this, we would have already been so distracted. This is not so important. This is not critical. If you're going to get distracted, you'll never, ever get to this point in time. The Torah deliberately has to present the end game in the very beginning to put into our DNA of Klal Yisrael, this is what makes you different than the nations of the world. The nations of the world do not have the Torah. They don't have a plan. They don't have a vision. They don't have an end game. So they live for today. There's an exciting war going on. Who's going to dominate? There are four kings, five kings, color war. Four kings and the five kings. Who's more mighty? Quicksand. It's very exciting. Who's going to dominate? There are a lot of fascinating stories. There's a famine in Egypt, and this is going to happen, that's going to happen. There's success. Abraham is rich, he's poor. If you're going to focus on the stories and on the events in life, you're never going to get to where you need to go. The Torah deliberately introduces us to our forefather, Avraham Avinu, by presenting us the end game, because this is what Klal Yisrael is. Focus on the goal. Focus on Olam Haba. This world is nothing more than a prozdar, an antechamber to the ultimate true world, Olam Haba, Olam Ha'emes, where there's Din, Techeshbon. This world will achieve its perfection through Klal Yisrael, where Klal Yisrael will be recognized as the Am HaNivchar and will be the nation, the Nivchu V'cha Kol Goyei Ha'aretz. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let me tell a short idea. Yeah.
Most stories start with a certain a thought, and then they have flashbacks, and that's not unusual.
Correct. That's correct. So why do they do that? Exactly. Why do they do that?
Because
they do that.
You build up.
Exactly. Because you want to give focus. Why do you have stories or films where they'll start with the end?
Right. Not necessarily the end. That's not the end.
A certain point. They'll start with a significant point, and then everything else is going to be a flashback to understand what happened.
Right.
Because that's critical. It's exactly what the Torah is doing.
Well, it's Vayikach Avram es Sora Ishto. Is that the beginning of telling the story?
No, I don't think so. The Pashto says yes. Everything that it says over here until Perek Yudalit happened in order. Perek Yudalit happened before. Everything, we're going forward. From Perek Yudbeis all the way until Perek Yudalit, we're going, according to most of the commentators, forward chronologically in time. When we come to Perek Yudalit, we're now going flashbacks, so going back to give you the background. And there are variations of that interpretation, but everyone clearly says that this took place towards the end. This was a later event in time. Okay, let's go to a new short, very short idea. This idea I found to be very chav. I saw this idea in the sefer Yirmiyah. I forgot the name of the sefer, unfortunately. Something to do with Yirmiyah, Minchas Yirmiyah. That's not my idea. I was very, very misragish from this idea. It says here, when Avram, he traveled, Hashem told him to go travel. He took with him Sarai Ishtoi, V'yeslod ben Achiv, V'yeskol Ruchusham Asher Rochosh, all of his possessions, their possessions, and someone else came with them. All of the converts, V'yes HaNefesh Asher Osu V'choran. He took with him all of his groupies. Okay, he took all the groupies, all of his fans. Much better than Facebook. Much better. He had real fans. They didn't just give him a like. They came with him. They actually did something. They actually picked themselves up out of their homeland and they traveled with him to go to where Hashem told him. What became of these nefashos? Where are they today? What happened to them? Gone. Don't exist. They totally disappeared off the face of the earth. I know you'll tell me, Aramami Pano, that every single Ger Tzedek today is a descendant of one of these nefashos. Okay, if you like Kabbalah, so it's very satisfying. All of the Ger Tzedek, that all the converts today, are descendants of these nefashos, asher asu b'charon, even though they disappeared at that moment in time, they fizzled out. They just could not keep up with the program. They got scared when they saw the war. They saw this, they saw that, whatever happened. And they fizzled out. But it made an impression. All right, okay, fine. But if you don't want to go with the world of Kabbalah, it's very frustrating. Avram Avinu, he worked so hard in Choron to be Makari V'Choykin. He had Hotel Ishel, Achila Shesiu Levia. And after everything was said and done, he did succeed in being Makari V'Choykin. And it was worth whatever it was worth. It was a very great accomplishment. But nothing, no future generations came from that. We don't find anything about them. We find they disappeared. So it would appear. What?
Rivka, Rachel, and Leah.
Why Rivka, Rachel, and Leah? They came from the Nevi'im Shoshana B'Choron. Does it say that?
But yeah, you must have been influenced by what was going on.
Maybe yeah, maybe not. I hear what you're saying. Maybe yes, maybe not. Could be. I don't know. Okay, but al derech pshat, nothing. Why does the pasuk even need to tell it to us if nothing came from them? It's a very powerful question. Yeah. If nothing came from these people, why would the Torah go through the effort of actually writing that these neshamos came with him to travel ultimately to Eretz Yisrael if they disappeared? So I saw the following answer. We know that by when Yaakov's children came into Eretz Yisrael, it came into Mitzrayim, the 70 nefoshos, it's used the word nefesh. It counts, enumerates all of the souls, all of the 70, really 69 people who came down into Egypt with Yaakov Avinu, and it calls them, it summarizes them with the word nefesh. Grammatically incorrect. It should say nefashos. When the psukim describe the yichus of Esav, all of his descendants, it says Eile toldos Esav, and it uses the term nifashois b'lashoin rabin. Rashi, on the pasuk there, either in Toldos, I think, or in Vayechi, where one of those Rashis there, I didn't get a chance to look it up, but Rashi there writes, why is it that when the Torah enumerates the descendants of Esav, does it use the plural term nifashois, but when it enumerates the descendants of Yaakov, does it use the term nefesh? And Rashi says, Achdus. Yaakov Avinu instilled in his children Achdus. You're all one. Even though you're different people, you're 70, but you all are responsible one for the other. Arvus. Esav never put that neither into his children that they all should be responsible one for the other. There is no Achdus different. They're called Nefoshites. We have the same principle by Har Sinai. Vayachnu Sham, Neg, Vayachnu Sham, Neger har, b'lashon yachid, ki ish echad, b'leiv echad. Question. Here, the pasuk should have been written, if you were in third grade, in Yeshiva Flapush, and were taking a class in writing, and you would write, v'yes hanefesh asher osu v'choron, your teacher would give you an F for the paper. She would say to you, you don't know grammar. I teach you here, hack away, teach you how to be a good Jew, to know how to read and write. And you wrote, V'es ha-nefesh asher osu v'choron. It should say, V'es ha-nefoshois asher osu v'choron. Not nefesh. It's grammatically incorrect. What's the answer? The answer is, well, let's go back to the other question. Why is the pasuk bothering to mention this? He was Makari of all these people. And what became of them? Nothing. Gone. So why bother mentioning that he took them with him? You know what the answer is? He accomplished something very, very great. He accomplished the principle. He taught the principle of Achdus that he took with him from Choron. In Choron, he converted many, many people. And part of his process of conversion was Achdus. The people that he converted happened to disappear. But more than the Talmud gains from the Rebbe gains from the Talmud. Avraham Avinu, through his life work in Choron, he discovered, or he crystallized, he succeeded in learning for himself how important it is that when you are makariv people and when you build institutions and you build families, it has to be with nefesh, not nefashos. This was his accomplishment. This is what he took out. This was his rechush. This is what it says in the Sefer called Minchas Yirmiyahu. Incredible idea. Pasuk says, Vayikach Avram. Look, it's an incredible insight. Avram, what did he take with him? Here he is in Haran. Slaved away all these years. And Hashem says, Avram, it's time to leave. Pack up. Pack up. What are you going to pack up? You go through your pictures. You're going to take everything, every little possession you got, you're going to take with you. There are certain things. You're going to have a flea market. Okay? What is it called? What? A garage sale. A garage sale, right? Avram Avinu had a garage sale. What did he not put out on the table at his garage sale? What did he take with him? So it says, this is what was not for sale. Vayikach Avram es Sarai Ishta. His wife, she's coming with me. I'm not leaving her here. V'es Loit Ben Achiv. My nephew, last time I left you alone, I had to go, World War broke out. I had to go risk my life to save you. So you ain't going nowhere. You're staying with me. I'm not letting this happen again. I have to go risk my life to go save you. Last time there was a world war, I almost got killed because of you. So you're staying with me. You ain't going nowhere this time. V'es kol ruchusho masher ruchashu. What do you got? You got a car? You got a couple of tchotchkes? What do you got? You got some toys, some books? No, pack it up, put it in the valise. And you know what else he took? I'm going to take with me my doctoring. Something that is very, that I've learned only through my work. It's mine. I'm taking v'es hanefesh. I'm taking with me the principle, my doctrine, my ideology, that when you build institutions, when you build families, when you build organizations, you build it with the nefesh doctrine, not the nefashos doctrine. And most people have no clue what that means. They think, yeah, achdus, achdus, achdus. I know how to create achdus. You know how I know? Because I coughed up blood learning how. I worked here in Haran. I work with my people. And through working with my people, more than the Talmud gains from the Rebbe gains from the Talmud. I have perfected my technique in Kiruv Rechokim. And my unique technique that I have copyrighted. I don't even need a copyright because no one even knows how to do it anyway. They can try all they want. They'll never succeed. Only I know how to do this, only because of my effort, and that is the koyach of nefesh. Avram Avinu, he didn't take the people with him. You can stay here. You know what? I converted you. Stay put. Be a good person. I already converted you. You know what I'm taking with me? I'm taking the doctrine, the ideology, the technique that I have created. I'm taking the es ha-nefesh, not nefashos. I'm taking the koyach of making a nefesh, of achdus. Asher osu v'choron, that I have made v'choron. And this will be critical for my descendants when they stand by Har Sinai. Vayichan sham Yisrael neged ha-har. Ki ish echad b'lev echad. This will be critical when they go to Mitzrayim. The 70 souls, not soul. The nefesh, not like Esav who had nefashos. This is what I'm extracting. I'm taking in my valise that is gold. That is my accomplishment that I take out of this makam. The doctrine of the nefesh. V'yas ha-nefesh asher osu v'chalat. This gold, this vart, is unbelievable. Powerful vart. Answers the questions. It puts everything in a different perspective.
Why can't you say that he took the people? I mean, why are you...
Because that was our question. If he took the people, what happened to them? What? Everyone asked this question. Everyone, this famous question. Where are they? Where did they go?
If he took Nefesh HaChassid...
So where did they go? So what are you going to say? So they went with him, and over time they just dissolved. So there's no need to mention it then. That's not what the Torah is, not a storybook. The Torah, everything in the Torah has to reappear somewhere later on. It's a very deep idea.
Yes.
If the Torah, if it starts something, it finishes it. If it tells us he took these people, okay, where do they reappear? Everything in the Torah must reappear again. There's no loose ends. This is not a novel. No, not just telling you, you know, the writers, they write, they describe. It's beautiful, eloquent to describe the trees and the sounds to set this whole environment. Beautiful. I couldn't write like that. I would give anything to learn how to have the koyach to describe nature. But it's totally relevant for the storyline, the plot. Most of these books, it's nice. It embellishes the story. It gets you in the right frame of mind. But that's not what the Torah is. The Torah is giving you facts, and every fact must reappear.
Where did the sons of Keturah reappear?
Good question. One question at a time. Can build Rome in one day. One question at a time. Where do they reappear? Everyone asks this question. Where do they reappear? So if they just dissipated, so why bother mentioning it? Terrence, we're not discussing the actual people. We're discussing the doctrine, the ideology, his accomplishment. Avraham worked on Kiruv more than Avraham was Makariv people. They were Makariv him. Okay? More than you keep the Shabbos keeps you. You work for Hashem, Hashem works for you. He was Makar of the people. He became a better person. What did he learn from his experience? He learned there's a principle called Nefesh. And that is critical for the future of Klal Yisrael. That's what he took. Sarai. He took Lot. He took Rechusham Asher Rechashu. What does that mean exactly? It's also subject to topic of discussion. And he took the doctrine of the Nefesh. The people, why do they have to come with him? There's not enough room. I can't pay for tickets for everyone. I have to schlep them along with me. You stay here. You go. You misakin what you need to be misakin. I've done mine. You don't take every groupie with you. The groupies should go out and have their own groupies and promote what we're trying to accomplish.
What about the Nefesh from Nostoy? He also asked for the Nefesh.
What?
That Melchizedek also asked the room for the Nefesh. So which Nefesh
you
is say, that?
I didn't think about that. Okay, you have to elaborate. Okay, you're saying very good. I want to go on to other things. Obviously, you have to go look more into this idea. It's a very okay. This is. I think I elaborate a little bit more than what he said in the Sefer, but the essence is there, and you know, Tein Lechacham, the Yilmaroid. You have to elaborate. Now, I want to go to another quick idea. Now, this idea is a little bit really way off the beaten track. So off the beaten track, I'm certain there are people that will not like what I'm going to say. That's why you come, right? Okay. So I want to say something.
That's always true.
Very, very way off the beaten track. But I think there's a kernel of truth. A kernel, maybe not, but nah. I'm always fascinated. And we actually spoke about this topic many times. And that is, what is Lot? Why is Avraham so obsessed with Lot? He goes here in this parasha. Let's go back to the beginning of his life. We're going to read the parasha out of order. Avraham begins his life. He's at home, minding his own business. He's doing his kiruv v'chokim, and then goes on the news. Guess what? World War Zero breaks out. World War Zero breaks out. There are four kings. There are five kings. For 13 years, they were loyal, go to the whole story, and right now, they're at each other's throats. Okay, mind my own business. Let them fight. We wish you luck. My father used to joke about Iran-Iraq war. United States supplied arms to both. We wish you hatzlach. I wish you hatzlach. And you should both be successful and destroy each other. It's exactly what Reagan did. No, Reagan, to a certain degree, he mamish did that. He gave them both arms to kill each other, to get to why they should both fight each other out. It's unbelievable. What a diplomat. Brilliant idea, as long as you don't get caught. Okay, Iran-Contra, if you got caught, then you got caught. But until then, you know, you wish each other. Hatzlacha to both of you. The four kings, that no one here is a tzaddik. You want to kill me, you want to, gesunte, hey, mind my own business. One day, he gets a phone call, he gets a text, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, SOS, Lloyd has been captured. Uh-oh. Lloyd's captured. Superman. He goes into the telephone booth, Vayorek Eschanichav Yilidei Beso, and he goes on a suicide mission. Okay? There's no mission impossible that comes anywhere near to what Avraham sought out to do. Does not exist. He went literally on a suicide mission to save his nephew. Why? What's he thinking? Go ask any rav. There is no rabbi, there is no mekubal, there is no politician, there is no leader in the world that will tell Avraham Avinu you should do this. What you're doing is wrong. It's like a halacha. You're not allowed to put your life at risk for him, for what he has done, the chulu, the chulu. It's none of your business.
He felt responsible for his brother.
Oh, excellent. So we discussed many, many times. So why did he do this? So we have to appreciate Lot is the son of Haran. Haran is not a simple person. Haran is not a Jew. He's not part of Klal Yisrael. He's the son of Terach. He was Avram's brother. He was the first person to die al Kiddush Hashem. The first person. Nimrod said, Terach said, there's the whole thing. Nimrod, bow down to Nimrod. Nimrod is a god. So Terach bowed down very quickly. Terach was the first one to bow down to Nimrod. Terach said, my sons are also going to bow down. So Avram said, no way, I ain't bowing down to this guy. You don't bow down to a boss of Dam. No way, no way. They looked at Haran. Are you going to bow down to him? No comment. And what Haran says, see what happens to my brother. Avram said, I'm not bowing down. They threw him into Ur Kasdim. Big event, big, big world event. Last week's parsha mentions it. Ur Kasdim, miracle of miracles. They threw him in publicly into a furnace. He did not want to bow before the God of the world, Nimrod. And what happened? Nothing. Miracle of miracles. He comes out alive. The whole world is in shock. Avram was right. There's Ribbono Shel Olam. He saved him. Nimrod says, not bad. If Hashem saved Avram, he'll save me. Throw him into... Haran said, they saved my brother? Save me. Haran, are you going to bow down? Are you going to bow down to Nimrod? Nope. Just like my brother did, I'm not bowing down either. So you're also going into the fire. They threw him into the fire, toast. Gone. Nothing left of him. Avram, what?
Is that real Kiddush
Hashem? Yeah, it was. That was real, because that's real. People go into the fire, they don't come out alive. Avram, his entire life, lived with guilt. Like a Holocaust guilt. Why did I survive? People, Holocaust survivors, some of them, they don't have any minucha. Why me? Why me? I was standing online, they shot everyone and me for some reason they didn't shoot. Why me? What's going on here? Guilt, incredible guilt. Why me, not my brother? Why did Hashem do a miracle for me? So what Avram, the least I can do is, my brother has a son, his name is Lot, I'll take care of him. I'll be a real uncle. I'll be a real good uncle. That's my obligation. The only reason why my brother died is because of me. I publicly did not bow down. I was on that level of emuna. My brother wasn't. He was not, before Matan Torah, wasn't he mechuyev not to bow down? Stamanat. Before my Avodah Zarah, Zayin Mitzvahs. I don't think he was mechuyev. Not even going there. It doesn't make a difference. Doesn't matter. It's because of me that he died. So I, because of me, my brother had to die. The least I can do is my brother Lot. So Avram was suicidal, clear as day, for Lot out of guilt that Haran was the first person to die al kiddush Hashem. And you know what happened? Came to a war, he was suicidal, and he survived. He was able, no one knows how, one person to go up against four kings who swallowed up five kings, like one against nine kings, really. It's one person going against nine. Tisha Miodea. Tisha Miodea. There were nine kings, four and five. Four overcame the five, which means not it's not four anymore, it's now nine, because when you overtake, so you can't beat him, join him. Right? So he's conglomeration. He swallowed up four nations, five nations. And Avram was able to overcome this massive conglomeration, this monopoly, one person, to save one person. So tell me, what if it was you, what would you be thinking? Zuchus Avos. Zuchus Avos. You know why Lot merited to survive? Because the tat. Because he has a father who went into the fire in honor of Hashem. Oh, you'll tell me, it wasn't Lashma, you'll be a brisker, right? Knesh, it wasn't Lashma, the Kavanah, what was his Kavanah, this? The bottom line is, he went into the fire in honor of Hashem. Don't start talking over here, brisker chumras, on what you will mechaven, b'shas maisa. The bottom line is, a person went into the fire publicly to show the world that this Shmegegi is not God. The Ribbono Shel Olam is Ribbono, not Nimrod. That's a grace zchus. This was before anyone ever did this. The first one to do this. This is not a zchus. So Avraham Avinu, you know what he said? It wasn't my zchus that I was able to succeed in Mission Impossible. It was zchus avos. And that's why my brother survived. My brother survived. My nephew survived. Okay. Now, let's go back to the timeline. Now the parasha begins. That was a very nice story. Sodom, then Sodom comes out, and Sodom says, "Tein li hanefesh, v'rechush kachloch," and Avram says, "I'm not taking nothing from you." Baruch Hashem, and what is Malki Tzedek? Baruch Hashem lekel elyoin koinei shamayim v'oretz. And then Avram, when the whole story is over, Hashem says, Avram says, it was a very nice story, but what do I have out of this? Hashem says, Avram, don't worry, and I'm sorry, let's go back one more step in the story. Hashem delivered, Migain Tzorecha, the word Mogain appears. Migain Tzorecha Biyodecha. I'm telling you these words for a very important reason. Okay, let's go back. Let's read over here the words over here. Vayivarche vayama baruch avram lekelyon konei shmaim varitz avruch kelyon asher migain tzorecha biyodecha vayiten lo maaser mikol. Okay, fine. That story is over. Now we have Brisbane Avsarim. I'm going to make you very great. 2 years later, 75 years old, Avram, it's time to get on the road. He goes on the road, and what happens? Starvation. Famine. Famine meant starvation. Not like today. Okay? Different world. Can't even relate to this. There's no rain. Vayihi rob aretz. People were dead on the street. You know, in Japan, people who went to Shanghai in the war, they would tell you that every day they were in the yeshiva, every day people just dropped it on the street. And there was a patrol, a sanitation crew. They just went, what did they do? They went to pick up the dead bodies and bury them. And so then we have the sanitation. Tuesday and Friday they come to pick up the garbage. On Wednesday they come down the street to pick up just any dead body. People just drop dead on the street because they don't have what to eat, they're too tired. They drop dead, they pick up the bodies. And they deposit them somewhere. That's what that's what Shanghai was like. That was like people just dropped it on the street. They come pick them up. Read about it. That's what happened when there's a famine. People just died. Avram had nothing to eat, nothing. So what does he do? He goes down to Mitzrayim. What happens in Mitzrayim? His wife is abducted. He says to his wife, you go tell them I'm your husband, they're going to kill me instantly. So here we're starving. There's no rain. There's no rain. There's no food. We're gonna starve. I come over here. They take you away. I'm also going to die. One thing leads to another. What happens? Hashem punishes. My wife's a prisoner. My wife's a prisoner. They take her away. What happens? Hashem punishes Paro. He gives them ro'osan. Rashi over here says all these terrible diseases, these kefarlecha diseases. And then Hashem says, you took over here his wife. I didn't know. Heal me. He gives back. Sarai, the prisoner is released. And the sick people in the palace are healed. And Avram lives. He doesn't die, despite all the predictions and statistics that he should have been dead for many, many reasons. He still is alive. What happens? He goes back. He builds the Mizbeach. Vayelich lemasaf. He has all this money now. And he builds a Mizbeach and he calls out in the name of Hashem. I just said over for you the first three blessings of the Shemona Esrei. The first three blessings of the Shemona Esrei is Avram Avinu reflecting upon his life. Let's explain. We start the basic brach. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak Elokei Yaakov. Hakel Hagadol. Just a few little points. Hakel Hagadol Hagibor V'Hanayra. Okay, three words. Now let's start now. Kel Elyon. Where does that come from? Kel Elyon.
Malchut
Tzedek. Malchut Tzedek. World War Zero. Miracle of miracles. Avram Avinu survived. He went up against the power of nine nations. Wow, I survived. I saved. Why'd I even go to this crazy war? No one drafted me. Suicide. Loyalty. Loyalty to the first person who gave up his life, Al Kiddush Hashem, to his son. I survived Kel Elyon. And look what the Ribbono Shel Olam did. He's goymel chasodim toivim. He saved his son. V'korni ha'kol. I don't have every single word down pat here. V'korni ha'kol. That's good. Malki tzedek. You know why? Shocking thing I'm going to say to you now. It's because v'zoicher chaste avos. The reason why Hashem saved Lot from Avraham Avinu's perspective was because of the chesed of the avos. Who's the avos? His father, Haran. Haran gave up his life al kiddush Hashem, and that's why I was zoicha to the title of Baruch Avram Lekel Elyon Koinei Shomayim Laaretz. You know why Hashem was goymel chasodim toivim to me that I survived and my nephew survived, and I was zoicha to the title of Kel Elyon the Shomayim Laaretz, which is Akol. It's not because of me. It's because this fellow here has a father who was Moser Nefesh for Hashem. He made a Kiddush Hashem, V'zoich Chas De'Avos. And this is an inspiration for all of us. U'mevi goya levnei v'neihem l'mar. Again, I'm not telling you, I really worked out. U'mevi goya levnei v'neihem. We say, u'mevi goya levnei v'neihem l'mar shema b'yava. It's an inspiration for us that we also, our effort of being Moser Nefesh for Hashem, and the fact that our forefathers died al kiddush Hashem and all of the horrors of history, in that zechus, we're going to be zoiche to geul. Baruch atah Hashem, Mogein Avraham, Asher Migein Tzorecha Biyodecha. This bracha is the story of the four kings and the five kings, the miraculous survival of Lot in the zechus of Haran. Okay, now we go to the second bracha. We go weiter. Hashem says, listen, Avram, you're in good shape, don't worry about it. I'm going to give you bracha. Okay, vayom, you're going to be in good shape. Vayom, Hashem, Avram, lech lecha, me'aretzlecha. I want you to travel now and go to Eretz Yisrael. All of a sudden, there's no rain. There's no wind, there's no rain. Mashiv haruach u'moyrid hageshem. Ata gibor liyolam Hashem mechayim eis ma'atarav le'oshia. There's no rain. There's a famine, a rav. A rav in Torah means death. Not like today, Baruch Hashem. If there's a famine in one part of the world, other part of the world will send in airlift, wheat and grain. The United States, in the height of the Cold War, in the height of the Cold War, was feeding Russia. Okay? In the height of the Cold War, where they're trying to nuke each other, they're starving in Russia. Chesed. It's not so pashut. They went and the air lifted. Why did the United States win the Cold War? And what's chus? Who's not to say in the chus that millions of people didn't die from starvation because the United States has an enormous surplus of grain sitting around doing nothing? And even though we want to kill you, we want to nuke you, we're fighting who's going to get to the moon first so we can nuke you. You're going to starve? Here, take it all. Free. Have all the grain. They passed the law. All the surplus has to go to Russia to feed the starving people. Not Pashat. That was the ultimate weapon. That was, in a sense, the victory of the Cold War. You do chesed with your enemy, you win. Okay, but they don't have that in those days. In those days, if there's starvation, there's death. Bein shloilam, there's no rain. I'm going to die. Mechayimei semata rav lohoshia. I need there to be rain in order there shouldn't be a famine. Mashiv haruach umorid hageshem. But in the meantime, until it begins to rain, I got to survive, so let's go to Egypt. Lechalkel chayim b'chesed. Mechayimei semerachamim merabim. We go down to Egypt. And there I tell my wife, you know they're going to kill me. I don't really know how that fits in, but we can figure that out. The roifei choylem, part of the process, Sora Imenu is abducted. And Hashem smites the Egyptian household with terrible diseases. And they realize what's going on, and they say, Avram, Avram, pray for us. Heal the sick. We shouldn't die because of our transgression. Hashem heals them. Umatir asurim. And in the process, Sorry, Menu is released. Umekayim emunaso li shenei afar. I'm not sure what that means exactly. Michamech abal gvusam midamalach. Avram Avinu, his fame, the Kiddush Hashem that took place there in this episode, it brought the Egyptians, it was in the front cover of the news. Michamech abal gvusam midamalach. They got an appreciation of who Avram Avinu was. Melech Nemisu Mechayim Atzmiach Yeshua. And by the way, this was Maise Ovel Simen Labanim. Just as he survived in Egypt, this is the sprouting forth of Geula when we went down into Mitzrayim. Maise Ovel Simen Labanim. This is the Tzmichas Yeshua. Everything is in right here. And then, Baruch Atah Hashem Mechayim HaMesim, I survived. And then what's next? Vayelech Avram, he goes and he travels on his travels and he builds a mizbeach. Vayikar Avram b'shem Hashem. He comes to Eretz Yisrael and he builds a mizbeach and he builds and he calls out b'shem Hashem and all the mekoymos that he called out originally. Ata kadosh v'shimcha kadosh u'kadoshim b'chol yom ya'aluch ha'sela. He proceeds on his mission of sanctifying the world. It's clear. The first three blessings are describing Avram Avinu. He's reflecting about his life. The story of my life, it's all here. My beginning, and what's shocking, I mean, what's controversial about what I'm saying, the real controversy is to say, the Zeicher Chaste Avos, in reference of Lot, to Haran. Okay, but I'm not holding back because of that, because it's a fact. There's nothing to be embarrassed of. It's not part of Klal Yisrael.
But he's not enough.
What? He's not enough? Who doesn't say he's an Av anywhere? It doesn't say he's an Av. Who says he's an Av? He's not an Av. From Lod comes Mashiach. What?
What Ephraim, we mean.
No, so the bracha also has to be understood in the Kant. You have to make a bracha. Elokei Av, we make it very, maybe that's exactly why we make it very clear. Maybe you really answer the question. Maybe that's exactly why you have to say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Let's set the record straight. We're going to say nice things now about Haran and about Lot. But let's set the record straight. They're not part of us. Okay, they're mechutz l'machaneh. Lot, from Lot comes Mashiach. In this week's parsha, the Ata Tovoy El Avosecha Bisholoim. Terach. Terach gets honorable mention. In the Haggadah, who wrote the Haggadah? The tradition is Eliyahu Hanavi is the Mechaber of the Haggadah. Eliyahu Hanavi, he writes in the Haggadah, Terach Avi Avram. If I were writing the Haggadah today, and I would put the word Terach in the Haggadah, do you know that every Beis Medrash in this world, they would say, Terach, are you crazy? Out of your mind? Haggadah, this thing I have to say there. You want to write a Nusach and mention Terach? Terach? If you put a picture of a woman in a newspaper today, you're already in trouble. Could you imagine putting Terach in the Nusach of the Haggadah? Are you out of your mind? Eliyahu Hanavi, you put Terach in the Haggadah. He had good reason to do so. Okay? Whatever, why? Very simple why. Because Terach produced Haran. Haran produced Lot. Lot produced Mashiach. Eliyahu Hanavi is waiting to come. Hinei anoichi shaleach lachem eis Eliyahu Hanavi lifnei bo yoyim Hashem. Eliyahu comes before Mashiach. Eliyahu comes with Mashiach. When Eliyahu Hanavi writes the Haggadah, I want to come already. Who? And I want to come before Mashiach. I come. My role is lifnei bo yoyim Hashem. So who's on the top of his mind? Mashiach. Where does Mashiach come from? Terach. Okay, that's another story. But in any event, we set the record straight. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, make no mistake. Lot and Haran, they're not part of Klal Yisrael. But, so we set the record straight. But now, you have to be a real person. You can't shy away from reality. Avraham Avinu, here he is. Look at his life. Look what he does. He goes on a suicide mission for an Oisfarf. A light. Person who loves Sodom. Sodom is the worst of the worst. What are you doing there? What are you hanging out in Sodom? What does Avram care about this fellow? Well, his father died because of me. The least I can do for my brother is take care of his child. What more could you do for a person? I brought into this world monotheism. I'm going to just go let my and now someone died because of my ideology. I'm going to go let his son just wither away. That's what I have to do. I'm suicidal. He succeeds. And Melech Sodom, Baruch Avram lekel elyoin, koinei shamayim, asher migain tzorecha biyodecha. You're going to deny me now that every single word of the Ma'aseh Sodom doesn't appear in the first book of Shemoneh Esrei. That's the centerpiece of the Shemoneh Esrei, the first bracha. You're going to deny that to be a fact? And you're going to deny the fact that he saved Lot, and whose zechus was he naturally thinking? The zeicher chastei avos. Your father gave up his life for Hashem. You don't think Hashem's going to go and come to your rescue? And is that not a lesson for us? That our forefathers who suffered, who gave up their life, in the Holocaust, in the Crusades, pogroms, Chmelnytsky massacres, in the horrors of history, in that zechus, we don't live today. It all comes from Avraham Avinu and how he looked. Avraham Avinu wasn't just the one who established, he also presented that outlook of what it means. The Zeicher Chasdeus, he is the creator of Vizoycher Chasivs. We don't look at it like that. We look, Avram did it, and now we're the ones who come along. Oh, let's capitalize on Zuchus Avas. Avram Avinu was the one who taught us Zuchus Avas. How did he teach us Zuchus Avas? Lot and Haran. He looked at Lot, and he looked at Haran. Look at that. Vizoycher Chasdei Avas. And in that Zuchus, I'm going to go be successful in going on a suicide mission. And now, if Hashem did that for Lot and Haran, how much more so will He do it for us? V'zeicher chasdei avos. And then Parashas Lech Lecha begins. V'yom Hashem el Avram, Lech Lecha, go to Eretz Yisrael. And then what happened in my life? I go, and there's a famine. I'm dead because there's nothing to eat. I'm dead because I'm in a dangerous place, and miraculously, Techias HaMesim, and all the problems, I was a Neufel. There was sickness because of what happened to Par. My wife was a prisoner. Everything worked out. My wife was released. I'm not exactly sure how that fits into the picture, but we're not worried about that. And Techias HaMesim, I survived the impossible. I survived the impossible. And then we can now proceed with the Parshas Lech Lecha to spread Hashem's name in this world. It's the story of Avram Avinu. This is Tefillah. Who's the one that founded, that created Tefillah? Adon Olam Asher Molach. Avram Avinu was the first one to pray to Hashem. So we begin the Shnone Esrei with a bio. We begin with his bio. He's the one that established prayer. He's the one. Alamokoy Masher Omat Shab Lefnei Elokim. You deserve it. You deserve to say, we should say Adoin Olam Masher Molach, because he's the one who invented the term Adoin. And we deserve it to give a bio when we begin the Shnone Esrei. That's our controversial word for today. Have a wonderful Shabbos. I'm